Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S., and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
We certainly would love to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742. I am Bob Christopher. This is Basic Gospel. We're here to talk about the good news of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection, and how that news event that happened 2,000 years ago relates to you in your everyday walk as a human being here in the 21st century. So if you have issues with the Bible, some questions about particular Bible verses that don't seem to fit or make sense to you, now's the time to call. Again, the number 844-322-2742. If you have problem situations, things that you don't know how to deal with, you're looking for some wisdom, some biblical counsel, now's the time to call. Again, 844-322-2742. Our verse for the day comes from the book of Romans, Romans 6, and it's verse 14, one of my favorite verses from one of my favorite passages in all the Word of God. And it says this: "For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." This is such a powerful, significant passage, and it's one that we really need to spend a lot of time looking at it and dividing it and asking questions. What does this really mean as far as our day-to-day life is concerned? And Paul's explained what has happened to us to come to this great conclusion in verse 14. He says that we have been baptized into Christ Jesus. So we came into this world, we were under the law of sin and death, we were dead spiritually, and we were in Adam, in darkness. That's where we were. And now the end result of that, that whole realm of existence, leads to a point of death. Well, Jesus Christ entered into that world 2,000 years ago. He took upon Himself flesh and blood, and He took upon Himself at the cross our sins. He bore our sins in His body, and He died. Then He was buried, and on the third day He was raised back to life. So when we trust this gospel message, when we look at that story that happened 2,000 years ago, and we recognize that Christ did that for us, for you, for me, and we rest in that, we believe that, we receive Jesus Christ, we're taken out of darkness and placed into light. We're taken out of Adam, we're placed into Christ. We're taken out from underneath the law of sin and death, and we are now under the grace of God. So we died in Christ. We were baptized into Christ's death. So the end of the law has been carried out through us. We died. That was the end result of the law of sin and death. But that's not where Christ ends the story. He was buried and He was raised back to life. And so too, we are buried with Him through baptism, and then we're raised to walk in the newness of life. Well, this newness of life is in a completely different realm. The law of sin and death was in the realm of darkness. That's what governed and ran that particular realm of existence. We died, and now we've come alive in Christ, and we're in a new realm. Well, what regulates and governs this new realm? Well, the grace of God does. So Paul says we're no longer under sin or under law, and therefore sin will have no dominion over us. It has lost its power in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now we are motivated and controlled and governed by the grace of God. This is such a powerful, powerful truth. Believer in Christ Jesus, you are no longer under law. Let that sink in. Let it soak deep within your very soul and recognize that you are under grace. You're always living in God's favor that's been extended to you in the person of Christ Jesus. This is the good news of the gospel. You died in Christ, you were buried in Christ, and now, just as Christ was raised from the dead, you too have been raised so that you can walk in the newness of life, a life that is motivated, compelled, governed by the very grace of God that saves us. This is good news, folks, and that's why we've put together a great resource that we want to put in your hands this particular month. It's our CD series called Simply Grace. It is six messages that take a deep dive into the grace of God. We look at just about every single passage in the New Testament that talks about the grace of God. And so it's a very, very important, resource, and it's yours this month for a gift to Basic Gospel. All the information on how you can request your copy of Simply Grace is at our website, basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Well, before we get to our phone lines, I do want to mention today is a very special day in the history of the United States. It's Veterans Day. It's the day that we honor those who have served in the military to protect our freedoms, to protect the American way of life. And many of our veterans experience some tough times in reassimilating into everyday life. There's some sad statistics, very sad statistics. 22 veterans commit suicide almost every single day. And so we know that as a nation, we need to honor the service that they conducted on our behalf, how they risk, in many cases, risk their very lives. And we also need to honor them in serving them, serving those who served us in such a wonderful and powerful way. And we know that a lot of things that they deal with, just like a lot of the things that we deal with on a daily basis, are spiritual problems in nature, and they need spiritual answers. And we've put together a way that you can help veterans meet some of these spiritual needs, to have some of the spiritual needs that are at the root of a lot of the things that they are facing be solved and to be answered in the person and work of Jesus Christ. All the information on how you can help the veterans is on our website again at basicgospel.net. And let's gather together as a group of believers and serve those who have served us in such a wonderful way as we commemorate the special day that we know as Veterans Day. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, and we certainly are glad that you have joined with us. If you have a question that you would like to ask on today's broadcast, that number is 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We had this question that came in from Maureen, who's listening to us in Canada. Maureen?
Hello, this is Maureen from Stony Plain, Alberta. My question is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. I'd like an explanation. Thank you very much. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Well, Maureen, we certainly appreciate you leaving that question for us. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 reads this: "So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter." So Paul is using the word tradition here in the sense of a doctrine or an injunction delivered or communicated from one person to another. And what Paul is communicating is something that is of divine origin. It is the gospel message of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection. This was something that Paul received. It was something that was revealed to Paul as he spent time by himself learning from Jesus Christ. And so that is what he has passed on. And so this word tradition is simply a word that means doctrine or teaching that is passed on from one person to another. And it's either passed on verbally or by written word. And so Paul would go into these various cities. He went into Thessaloniki and he met with people there. And what did he tell them? What did he communicate via spoken word? Well, what he communicated was the truth of the gospel, the truth that saves. And they received it as the very word of God. And so he's saying to them, hold fast to that, stand firm and hold to that truth that you received, that you knew was the very word of God. Now, this stands in opposition to what Jesus was saying, for example, in Matthew 15. And he was talking to them there about the traditions that they were holding on to. And in holding on to those traditions, they were basically nullifying the good news of Jesus Christ, the teachings that had come from God. So as we read these things, we see that their traditions were of human origin. And that's the difference. And that's what we need to be able to discern. And context in both of these passages allows us to ask the question, as far as these traditions are concerned, where did they come from? Did they originate in the minds of man, or did they originate in the mind of God? So in Matthew 15, it's Jesus says, so for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. In 2 Thessalonians, he is saying that this is the word of God that was spoken to you through us, either verbally or by letter. So hold true, or stand firm, hold fast that tradition, that doctrine, that injunction that indeed is the word of God. So Maureen, thank you so much for that question. We certainly hope that helps. 844-322-2742 is the number you can call right now. Let's talk to Pat.
Pat, I'm from calling you from Arlington. I got a question again in regards to tithing. I already tithe to my church that I currently go to. Now, is it biblical to tithe to different organizations, or are you just supposed to take your main tithe and give it to the church that you currently attend? Or can you take that main tithe and spread it out among different Christian organizations? Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Love your show. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, Pat. Thanks for calling Basic Gospel. We certainly appreciate that. And thanks for the question. As far as tithing, where do we send the money that we want to give? And before I really talk about that, let's talk about that word tithe. That's a word that means a tenth, that you give a tenth of what you have. And we see that in the Old Testament. We see Abraham gave a tenth of his spoils to Melchizedek for blessing Abraham. And a lot of people look at that as the basis for us giving 10% today, that's the beginning step, the beginning amount that we're to give, and hopefully that grows over time. But we really don't see that teaching in the New Testament. We're just simply called to excel, to first participate in the grace of giving, and then to excel in the grace of giving. So there's not an amount associated with that. There's not a 10%. There's not a 20%. There's just what you and the Lord decide, what you can be joyful in giving. And as you grow in the grace of God, I think you're going to become more and more of a giver. Why? Because the Lord who lives in you so loved you that he gave. The Lord is a giver. And so as you're transformed into his image, as you grow in your understanding of who of who he is, then you're going to give. You're going to want to give. You're going to see that as a desire of the heart. So in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, Paul encourages us to participate in the grace of giving and then to excel in the grace of giving. And this, and when we do, it becomes a sheer joy to give. It's a cheerful thing. It's a happy thing. It's something that really just satisfies that deepest longings in our human heart. So we're called to excel in the grace of giving. Now, the next question is, where do we give that? And I think we give to places that we're being fed. So for many, that's the local church. You give to where you're being fed, where you are involved in a local body of believers, and y'all are working together side by side to carry this good news out beyond those church walls. So you're being fed there, and then you're a part of that local body and taking that good news of Jesus Christ beyond the walls of the church. So give. There are other organizations, radio ministries like ours. There are writers and authors that, stimulate growth in people. So if you're being fed by those particular organizations or particular people, then give to serve them. Give to say thank you. Give to help further the work God is doing through those local organizations. And as a believer in Christ, you're free to give. You have that freedom to give to your local church, to give to ministries that are feeding you and helping you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So give to those organizations joyfully. You're not bound to just give to one church building or one church group. You're free to give as God moves you by the very grace of God that saved you. There are certainly all kinds of physical needs that we see in the world. People are hungry. People are starving. People are malnourished. All continents of this great planet, and there's something inside of a believer that wants to help meet those needs, help provide food to those who are hungry. There are people that don't have adequate clothing or shelter, and there's something in the heart of a Christian that wants to help meet those needs. And so what I'm saying to you, Pat, is just let the Lord lead you. If you want to give to a group that's helping clothe those who are without homes, that are on the streets, living under boxes or shelters or whatever, then you give. You let the freedom that you have in Christ move you to give, and be joyful about that. As Christ said, it's more joyful to give than receive. Man, just embrace that and just have all kinds of joy in giving where you believe God is leading you to give. Well, Pat, hope that helps. We certainly appreciate the question. For those who may have some questions about tithing, about giving, we have a fantastic video on our YouTube channel. It's YouTube/Basic Gospel. It's titled Tithing. And it's all about, are we as believers under the law of tithing today? Are we under the grace of giving? It's our most watched video. We encourage you to take a look at that. Also, we have a booklet called Giving the New Covenant Way, if anyone would like that. It's available, and you can just write to me, bob@basicgospel.net, and we will send you a copy. It's free for the asking. Again, just send me an email, bob@basicgospel.net. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. We're glad you are listening. We do have some room for some more questions at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Steve writes to us from Michigan, and he has this question. He says, I've always thought that when Christ asked Peter three times if he loved him and gave him instructions, it was because Peter had denied him three times. I've been told recently we lose something in the English translations and that Christ asked about three different types of love. Was I wrong in my interpretation before? Well, the answer to that, Steve, is no. Peter denied Jesus three times. He thought he was going to have to go back to his old life of fishing and that sort of thing. And that's what he intended to do. And then Jesus met him on the shores of the Sea of Galilee and had breakfast there for him and had this powerful moment where he looked right into Peter's eyes and he restored him. And I know all of us go through times in life where we feel like we've disappointed the Lord, where we feel like we've just failed him in everything that we've ever done, and we feel like we just need to go back to our old way of life. Well, that's not the way it is with the Lord. He's going to restore us. He's going to lift us up, and he's going to say, you have a place in this family of God, and you have a purpose and a mission in this family of God. And that's what he did with Jesus. And I think there's something significant in the fact that Peter denied Jesus three times and the Lord restored him three times. So I think you're right on the mark as far as making that connection, as connecting the dots between those two events. But also in this interaction that Jesus has with Peter, he says, Peter, do you love me? And he uses the word agape. Do you agape me? Which is really a word of action, looking at needs and meeting those needs through what you can provide. And that's what Jesus did for us. He died to take away our sins. He was raised so that we could have life everlasting. He was patient with us, kind with us. All of those aspects of the definition of love, that's how Jesus loves us. And in response to that, Peter said, you know that I love you. And he used the word phileo. And phileo is the word that we get Philadelphia or philanthropic. It's a brotherly type of love, an affection toward another person. And so Jesus says, do you agape me? And Peter says, I phileo you. And he asks that again, do you agape me? And he says, I phileo, I have this affection for you. And then finally, Jesus says, do you really have that affection for me? And he used the word phileo. And Peter said, yes, you know I do. You know that I have this brotherly affection towards you. So there's something powerful in the threes, how Jesus connected Peter's three denials to his three statements of restoration. And there's something powerful in this interchange on the very love that Jesus had for Peter and how Peter was responding back to that love and an affection toward the Lord. So, Steve, hope that helps. Thanks so much for that question. We certainly appreciate it. Kay writes to us from Facebook, when our sins are forgiven, why are we asked to pick up our cross and follow Jesus? What does cross mean in this context? Well, cross means a instrument of death. And so he's basically saying to us, if you're going to receive eternal life, you have to, that old life has to die. And so that's what this Romans 6 passage is all about that we started with today. We're no longer under law, but under grace. And so we had to die in Christ. And that's what Jesus was talking about, dying in Christ so that we could experience new life, so that we could gain real life, true, genuine life in Jesus Christ. Well, Kay, I hope that helps. Thanks so much for that great question. And thanks to all who tuned in to today's broadcast, either through their local radio station, through Facebook, through YouTube, through our Basic Gospel app. There's so many ways that you can connect to Basic Gospel. You pick the one that's most convenient for you. And we're just glad that you allow us to be a part of your life on a day-to-day basis, and for us together to grow in the grace of God and our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We would love for you to join with us to help make a difference in proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ out there in the world. All the information is at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Come be a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel. We'll see you tomorrow.